The reality of disaster details.
Hi, I'm Ivan.
I'm Nick.
And this is the DIY Detail Podcast. Today, we're going to delve into disaster details, what they mean for the industry, what they mean to us, and why you haven't seen one on our channel yet.
Ivan, disaster details, they're real life, right? That's all every day in a detail shop?
They're about as real life as reality TV. Yes, disaster details exist, and yes, some professional detailers have done them, but there's seems to be an abundance of them now on YouTube and Facebook and Instagram, and it's great entertainment, but it doesn't really reflect real life. And some people are watching these disaster details and thinking that this is all detailers do. No, that's not all detailers do. We occasionally clean cars. We occasionally, get to actually work on good cars and new cars and and all that stuff. But disaster details, like I said, they're great entertainment. They're fun to watch. Seeing that transformation is there, but there's not that many of them out there. If you go looking, we've actually looked on our channel. So we've been, filming in Omaha for almost 2 years now, and we have searched disaster details. I've posted in Omaha car spotting groups. I've posted everywhere when we go there, and no one has raised their hand and saying, yeah, I've got a disaster detail for you. I even search Marketplace to see if we can, buy a car cheap, bring it in, do it as a disaster detail to see what is really entailed. Because some of the disaster detail videos that you see, let's say they're produced or fake.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I have a background in journalism, and say what you want about fake news in this day and age, but yes. You go to journalism school, and there's very strict guidelines. Like, we had something called the Medill F, the school I went to, and it's like, if you spelled someone's name wrong in one of your reporting assignments, you got an immediate F. Because if you can't spell a name right, this is the way it goes, what else are you going to get wrong? So from an early age, we had it drilled into us that facts and getting it right really matters. You don't stage anything, right? Those rules don't exist in YouTube world. So obviously people can stage things, and you don't want to do that. You don't want to be dishonest. But the reality is, I'm sure folks do it. And if it works for them, they keep doing it.
Exactly.
And not to hate on them. I mean, the reality is that these details have put these videos have put detailing on the map, from TikTok to YouTube. Like, they're very satisfying to watch. And I think in some ways they've elevated the industry.
Yeah, in some ways they have, but in other ways, I think they're a misrepresentation of the industry on the whole. Some of the most popular detailing channels on YouTube are the disaster detail channels. And, nothing against them. Like I say, they're fun to watch. I watch them as well. They're not educational, because a lot of them, it's the same process every time. Pull the car out of the barn. Clean the car, find mouse feces on the interior, et cetera, it's like I say, it's like reality TV. Reality TV is scripted. Yeah, those are pretty scripted as well. But like I said, they're fun to watch. So they have done something good for the industry, because they're putting detailing in front of a lot of people's eyes on YouTube, specifically YouTube. They're putting a lot of people there looking at it and going, oh, wow, that looks like fun. Or, ooh, that's disgusting, but people still watch it. It's like, there's some channels on popping pimples, and they're, they explode. Look, as well, in many different ways.
I've never seen that, thank God. I would not want to see that, but I know they all exist. So, okay,
yes.
I don't want people to think we're out here hating, Because that's it. So let's talk about, what can we learn from disaster? What do they do right that someone cleaning their own car might learn? For me, it's like dry removal. Remove everything you can that you can pick up, right? And then blow out the car and vacuum. You want to do as much of this removal of dry particulates and anything you can do dry before you introduce moisture is a really good thing. So you want to just basically get the car as debris-free as possible.
Right.
Wearing a respirator when you're blowing a lot of crud off, like mouse feces would be a great idea. But I don't know. What else do you see that they do right that I think, because we're really big on education. That's one of our fundamental things that we do here, is like educate people. So what else do you think people can learn from the disaster detail videos?
Well, like you say, some of them actually, they glove up and they wear the mask. That's great when they're doing the interior. One of the things that I see that I'm not for, and we talk about this on our channel frequently, is the car is just covered in dirt, and the first thing they do is take a pressure washer to it. Mm. And while, again, it looks great when you see that pressure washer going across and it's just cleaning off the surface and it's looking great, that's not the safest way of doing it. So if you have your own disaster detail to do, please just foam on some incredible suds, spray on some rinseless wash, even foam on some all clean, depending how bad it is. Then go at it with your pressure washer. What we do see, though, is they're not immediately going at it with a mitt or a brush. So that's a good thing. But to get that really satisfying, you know, the pressure washer going across the surface, and they all do the same, yep, you know, pretty much the same shot. You've wanted to do it before on the channel, and it's like, Nick, not well, a good
get,
idea.
They get views. If you have a dirty panel that you don't pre-treat, and you have one of those, like, I don't know what degree nozzle it is, but it feels pretty severe. And they just get those clean lines back and forth on the hood. Like, it's very satisfying to watch.
Oh, yeah. They use like a 15-degree nozzle.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're up close. They're using like a 4,000 PSI pressure washer. And sometimes you see them where they are flaking the clear coat off. But it's part of it. You know, you have to expect that if you are doing a disaster detail, that it's not going to be perfect when you're done. It's not going to be brand new. There's one channel that I saw, he was doing a mid-80s Camaro. And, you know, he said right in the beginning, we've actually done this car before several years ago, and now it's back because it's, you know, we cleaned it, they put it away, and they never did anything with it. And he mentioned that previously there was a bit of clear coat failure, and now he found a lot more clear coat failure with the pressure washer. But that one was realistic in the sense that they're not aiming for perfection, and they're not saying we're taking this car that has sat under a tree for 20 years and, oh, look, when we wash it, it's miraculously perfect.
Like, what tips do you have, Ivan, for folks who may not be experienced with either, you know, a barn find, so super old paint, or mouse feces, or, you know, just anything like that where they get this opportunity, they think they're going to strike YouTube gold, but they really don't know what they're getting into?
Yeah, first of all, protect yourself. You don't know what's in there, especially if there's mold. Mold, to me, is a lot worse than the mouse feces. The mouse feces aren't great either, but mold can put you into the hospital faster than you can think about it. So you don't want, you know, if you're dealing with mold, if it smells at all moldy, put on a proper mask, get gloved up, long sleeves, and, you know, clean out that interior. The interior part of it is probably where there's the most danger for us. For the car, not that bad. But, you know, like I said, mold, the mouse droppings, all of that stuff that can be in there. I found one car. So we actually, in my shop, we actually did a true disaster detail once. And when we pulled the carpet up, there was a island of maggots. And it wasn't fun. We took the car out of the shop and did the work outside. But that is something you have to be cognizant of, that that can happen. And, you know, that car that's been sitting under the tree for 15 years with the window cracked a quarter inch, you're pretty much sure that it's going to be moldy inside. And it's going to have that musty smell. And if you've ever driven a car from the 50s or 60s, they all have that similar smell. It gets worse when, you know, the car has been wet for a long time. So that's one thing that we can learn is, yes, you know, put on all the PPE you can possibly get, glasses, you know, the full mask, everything, because there are a lot of true and real dangers there.
Yeah, it's very tempting to want to just blow everything out. I was in a really old Ford Bronco, and I just, you know, it was like the back seat and one of those little openings that I guess maybe you put cigarette ashes in, but I didn't know. And I was just opening it up and like just take the air compressor, blowing stuff out, and just all in
a
my
cloud.
Face. A cloud. Yeah. And it was so unhealthy. I'm sure it reduced my lifespan. So it's like, you know, you just got to think about those things. You never know what you're getting into. So definitely mask up on a nasty interior.
Right.
What do you do with mold? Like, what is the safest way to work with that? Because I see a lot of people online who don't really seem to know what they're doing. And they're like, handle this mold job today. And I'm like, I don't even know what the right steps for mold are.
Very easy. Call a professional that's licensed and insured and knows what they're doing and has all the safety equipment. Don't play with mold. Don't take it lightly. mold can, like I said, can put you in the hospital very quickly. It just takes one active spore to get into your lungs and then you're done for. You have respiratory problems maybe for years. So definitely don't play with mold. If it smells like mold, if it looks like mold, don't be a hero. Don't think you can do it. Just put it away and, you know, have a true mold abatement specialist come in and do the work for you.
That is a real industry, is mold abatement specialist.
Yeah, exactly.
Through insurance and all that.
Yeah, exactly. They do it for a living. They're set up for it. They know what they're doing. They know why they're doing it, and they know how to take care of it. Another thing, if you're actually doing this for a customer, is you want to video the process. Whether you're putting it on YouTube later or not, you want to video it, because if you're doing something to the vehicle and there's damage to the vehicle, it's pre-existing, you couldn't see it under the dirt, you want proof that you're not the one who damaged the vehicle. You know, you want proof that, yes, I have, you know, in the process of cleaning it, here's what I found. So they may have not seen that the seat was ripped. They might not have seen that the carpet was, torn or something like that. So you want to be sure that you document it. Like I mentioned before, you're going at it with the pressure washer and the clear coat flakes off. If there's clear coat or paint flakes off, that's not necessarily your responsibility. Now, if you're taking a 4,000 PSI pressure washer with a 15-degree nozzle from half an inch away, yeah, it might be your fault. But if you're taking the precautions, so you pre-foamed it, you did, you know, let the chemicals do the work, emulsify the dirt, break it down, and then you gently pressure wash it and it starts flying away, then yeah, there was a pre-existing problem there.
How does a detailer know? Because you could be on your first week of detailing and you're a mobile guy or gal, and it just so happens that one of the neighbors sees you working. I just say this from experience.
Yeah.
And they might say, hey, you know, how much to do mine, right? And you don't know what vehicle. It could be a 2019 Porsche, or it could be some old barn find, and you may be in way over your head.
Yeah.
You know, what do you do when you run into situations where you're just way out of your league and you shouldn't be messing with it? And how do you know what that is? I think you'll probably just common sense not know. But I think the tendency then is fake it till you make it, right?
Yeah.
And exactly. I think that's where a lot of people can get into trouble.
Right. And definitely you can get into trouble. So one of the things is know your limits. And when you're starting detailing, yes, it's good to push your limits and explore a little bit. But if you're in way over your head, it's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you heartache. And you're not going to be creating a customer. You're not going to be making a friend out of your neighbor if you go ahead and do this job without really knowing what you're getting into. So know what you're getting into and do research. We have a great Facebook group where people, you know, post pictures and say, how do I tackle this? And with that group, you've got a lot of, you know, many, many, many centuries of experience. We have almost 50,000 people in the group now. And some of us have been in detailing for 40 and 50 years, and we're there to answer your questions. And there's some people that are just starting, and they're there to answer your questions as well, because they've done a lot of research. So it's not how old the person is, not how long they've been in detailing, but you can research things. There's YouTube University, like we mentioned. Yeah. We like to provide educational content. Some are providing, you know, entertainment content. We're providing educational content. Hopefully our content is somewhat entertaining that, you know, keeps you coming back. And if it does keep you coming back, subscribe, hit the notification bell. But what we're doing is trying to provide education for everyone. And there is education to be had. There are a lot of great YouTube channels that you can go to and get really good tips and get really good ideas on how to do things. And you need to know that in detailing, there's no right way of doing it. There's a lot of really good ways. There's probably a few bad ways too, but there's a lot of really good ways. So there's no way that is the ultimate, the best, the only way. And that's something we try to show. We wash cars with soap. We wash cars with waterless. We wash cars with rinseless. We wash cars with APC. So we're showing all sorts of different ways of cleaning the car. We're showing all sorts of different ways of polishing, all of those aspects. So education is key for us. Education is key for a lot of people. And the disaster details may not necessarily be educational. They're a lot of fun. But don't get yourself in that trap of, I'm not a real detailer if I haven't done a disaster detail.
And I don't know if you even want to be a disaster detailer. Like, I know Carlos Serrano loves a good interior, and he sort of structures his life to do one interior a day or one detail a day, and really takes pride in it and prices that well for his business. But, you know, I think it's hard to sometimes ask for $1,000 for an interior, even though that's what you probably should ask for. Like, I think my highest ever was $800, and that was a brutal, brutal van. And it was like, I documented it for my YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And it wore me down, and it should have been $1,000, you know? And it's like, I think one thing you might learn, you know, is like how to properly extract carpets and seats and, you know, utilize a steamer, and you can really get rewarding results, but pricing that accordingly, Ivan, I think it's difficult to make those jobs profitable because those customers, you know, are they really detail customers or are they the one timer who are kind of filthy? It's a very tough market to try to conquer. I mean, it's truly made for YouTube, but I don't know that you really want to be a master at the disaster.
No, and good one. but often, it's the customer that's getting that disaster detail done. There's two different customer bases. There's the person that just neglected their vehicle for so long, or they're just wanting to sell the thing, and you know it's been in the backyard for 5 years. They're just wanting to put it on the marketplace and get a little better price for it. The other one is the legitimate barn find that now it's the collector wanting to bring this vehicle back to life. The collector that has got a barn find and, you know, they're wanting to bring it back to life, they're probably willing to pay. The person that is just, you know, they're pulling the car out of the backyard or, you know, grandma passed away and they found this car in the garage and they're trying to get a couple $1,000 out of it, they may not be willing to pay what it's worth for your time.
Sometimes it feels like the job that you would charge for would cost more than the vehicle's worth, you know? So if you're just trying to get experience and everything, I mean, you can do it, but just be careful.
Right. And it's ultimately up to the customer to decide what it's worth for them. And don't undervalue yourself and don't underprice yourself. There's nothing wrong in telling a customer that this interior is going to be, like you mentioned, that your van that you did, it's going to be $1,000. And if the customer says no, it's not a big deal. And if the customer is willing to put that money in, then yeah, do it. But price it so that you're not damaging yourself. You're not hurting yourself. So, you know, if you need to buy a mask and if you need to buy the, you know, the Tyvek bunny suit and all of that, put it into your price because you're going to throw them away afterwards anyways. That Tyvek suit that you use is not reusable. The, you know, the mask, you might want to change the cartridges. With disaster details, you know, if you have a customer that wants you to do one, set realistic expectations on your part, on their part, and set realistic pricing because your time is worth a lot more than that car might be worth. And like you said, you know, there's some people that they're pulling out the 96 Toyota Duracell out of the backyard and think they're going to get $2,000 for it, but it might need a $3,000 detail to bring it back up to that $2,000 level.
I mean, it's remarkable what you can do with the right chemicals and hot water extraction, but then there may be some odor that, you know, you're just not trained to remove and you never quite get there. You may be able to do the headlights, right? So maybe hit it with 1,000, 1,500, 2,000, 3,000 grit sandpaper and then wool and then waffle. Maybe that's probably a way you could handle the headlights and those will really make them pop. You could do a one-step polish, you know, with the gold standard polishing system. Like there's ways that you can truly change the appearance and really drastically improve a vehicle. But I don't know, old paint, I mean, maybe avoiding pressure washers. I mean, talk about that. Maybe like if it's an older vehicle, might you want to avoid a pressure washer and go for, you know, less water in certain situations?
Yeah. So older vehicles, if we're talking, you know, classics from the 50s, 60s, 70s, a lot of the moldings that you see, the chrome moldings are held on with clips and the clips are in holes in the body. So the more water you introduce, the more problems you might have. We have a video on the channel that you'll link below. The truck we did that was a patina truck, and they don't want it perfect. They still want that patina. We didn't polish it. We just cleaned it, quick beads. The customer was happy. It looked good. And, you know, mechanically, that truck was very sound. But aesthetically, it had a few holes here and there. But nonetheless, that's what the customer was expecting, and that's what the customer wanted. Like you said, the pressure washer on an unknown might not be something you want to use. You know, get it chemically cleaned first, low pressure, and then introduce the pressure washer if you need to.
On single stage paint, what are you reaching for? You're reaching for a rotary on the jeweling with the jeweling pad. Are you reaching for the yellow waffle? Like, let's assume the paint is old and you don't want to inflict any damage. I mean, test spot, right? You want to do a test
right.
spot, but what does your gut tell you? Not knowing anything about the car, right? We're just spitballing the most generalization that we could try to give people an easy answer for, because everybody wants to. What do I use for this? You know?
Yeah. So you have old, faded single stage that's chalky. I'm reaching for all clean and a no scuff dish pad. That's my first course of action. What we're doing there is the all clean is going to start breaking down that oxidation. So diluted 15 to 1. And then the no scuff dish pad is actually going to work in or work out that oxidation and also act as our clay towel at the same time. Because a faded, chalky paint is just going to destroy the clay towel. It's not going to scratch the paint. It's a no scratch or no scuff dish pad. You can pick
them
up.
What do those look like? Give me a brand or are these the green, the yellows?
Like at Walmart, you can buy them. At Home Depot, you can buy them under the HDX brand. They're just what looks like a Scotch-Brite pad on one side and foam on the other.
Okay.
You use the Scotch-Brite side or what looks like like a woven nylon.
Mm-hmm.
And they truly don't really scratch, especially old single stage that you're going to be polishing. It's tough enough. It's not going to do any damage, but it is going to remove that really chalky oxidation. Because if you start polishing on that, the first thing you're going to do is just load up your pads. And you're going to be causing more damage to the paint because you've loaded up your pad with all that oxidation that, you know, you'd have to be cleaning your pad after every single pass. Like you do, one pass across, clean your pad. One pass across, clean your pad. So by pre-treating it with the all clean and the no scuff dish pad, we're getting all that loose oxidation off. You'll actually bring back a bit of shine doing that. Then you can start polishing.
And then if it's not like a Model T, what if we're talking about like some car in the 80s?
Well, a lot of single stage still in the 80s. That's when clear coat was starting.
Yeah.
But if it's clear coated, then treat it like any other car. Just clean it well first. Decontaminate with the PSD towel and then start polishing, but polish lightly. If you don't have a paint thickness gauge, just assume that it has no paint left. And the red jeweling pad, one spray of the gold standard polish and DA or rotary, your choice, but you're just trying to bring shine back. You're not looking for perfection. You're not going after the scratches. You want to make the car shiny.
I know we've jumped around a little bit. We used Disaster Details as a stepping off point to kind of discuss detailing as we do, based on a couple of videos we've recently seen on YouTube, and we're getting inspired by everybody. So your questions, your comments, they leave the videos as well, right? We're part of the ecosystem. But we have our new polishers coming out, Dual Action Rotary. And I was talking to a guy recently, I believe in North Carolina, and he's got an old hunting truck, and he's like, I don't know what polisher and what pad to get. And if you had to choose one polisher pad combination for the average person out there, what would it be? Would you get the rotary with the jeweling pad, or would you get the DA with the yellow waffle?
DA with the yellow waffle all day long. If you're just looking to do one thing and you're trying to get the best of both worlds, the DA with the yellow pad, you could build a detailing career off that pad and that machine. The rotary is for getting that final touch, that little extra gloss that most people won't see the difference between the DA and the rotary. We do. A lot of detailers do. We have a lot of people commenting that, hey, because of our videos, they've tried a rotary and it's like, wow, I never thought I could finish with a rotary, and they can. Nick being one of those. But
the DA actually, the rotary is making a comeback. I see a lot of YouTube comments now where guys are like, speed. One guy wrote, I think, today, like speed kills, rotary speed one. I've been doing this for decades, and it's like just people are starting to chime in that they love the rotary for finishing, and that's what you said is like it never went out of style, it never stopped working.
No, it's always been doing the same thing, just going around in circles. So, the rotary, it's never gone out of style. Yes, it does the same thing, it just goes around in a circle. It's been doing that for decades and does it well. The DA is a good tool for that, and if you want just one polisher, one pad, one polish, the gold standard waffle, the gold standard polish, and the gold standard 25 millimeter DA is going to do everything you need. Yes, you can get a little more gloss by using a DA. Yes, you can get a little more cut by using the wool pad. But that one pad, one polish, one polisher scenario, someone can make their living off of that. Definitely, you don't need any more. Do you want more? Of course. You might need a little more cut sometimes, and you'll use the wool pad for that. You might want a little glossier finish, so you'll use the jeweling pad for that. But do you have to? No. And for a quick one step, that is a great combination.
Folks, what disaster detail has changed your life? Either one that you've watched or one that you've done. What have you learned from the disaster detailing in your own personal experience? And what do you prefer, rotary or dual action? Is that enough comments that we think we'll get on that one, Ivan?
Yep.
All right. Well, should we end it on that note?
Yeah, let's end it there.
All right, folks, if you are interested in how to use our dual action polisher or our rotary, we have them coming out in March of 2024. But in the meantime, the Gold Standard Polishing System, if you're just wondering how that even works, there's a link right here.
There we go.
Center of your screen.